Morning, everybody. Warm enough? I'm sorry I'm late. I didn't want to take my coat and scarf off. So welcome to our service of Holy Communion. Today is the third Sunday after Epiphany. Let's just take a moment of quiet to prepare ourselves for worship. We come from scattered lives to meet with one another and with God. So let us recognise God's presence with us. Holy God, holy and strong, holy and immortal, have mercy on us. And eternal God, source of all blessing, help us this day to worship you with all our heart and mind and strength. For you alone are God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. So with that prayer still in our minds, we stand to sing our first hymn, which is hymn number 182, Holy, Holy, Holy. name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us sit or kneel for our prayer. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. So let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. We say together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate faults. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And our collect prayer for today, the third Sunday of Epiphany. Almighty God, whose Son revealed in signs and miracles the wonder of your saving presence, renew your people with your heavenly grace, and in all our weakness, sustain us by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
We sit to hear our readings from Scripture.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 14, beginning to read at verse 17. After Abram returned from defeating Chedorlaomer and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 19, beginning to read at verse 6. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, "Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear." Then the angel said to me, "Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." And he added, "These are the true words of God." At this, I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, "Don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and sisters who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus." This is the word of the Lord.
We'll sing. We'll stand and sing our second hymn, which is 557, "Thou Whose Almighty Word." Gospel of our Lord according to John. This is the second chapter of John, and we begin at the first verse. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best until now." This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
O Christ. Please do sit down. So may I speak only in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The story of this wedding at Cana, intriguing, don't you think? The dynamic between Jesus and his mother is also fascinating, as is the nature of the miracle itself. It's completely absent from the accounts of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John is the only gospel writer to mention this episode at all. And Jesus' mother, whose name we are never actually told by John, appears only twice in this gospel. She appears here at the wedding at Cana, and then once more in chapter 19, where she stands at the foot of the cross and is entrusted by her dying son into the guardianship of the disciple Jesus said was beloved. And it's clear that in writing this gospel account, he absolutely intended these two cameo appearances to make the connection between this Jesus' first miracle and his last breath. And there's a big hint for this when John tells us that this all took place on the third day. So it also seems obvious that we today should also connect Jesus' gift of wine at the wedding at Cana and also the gift of his life on the cross. We are to connect the glory revealed by the wine and the glorification which was ultimately brought about in his death and resurrection. With so little known about Jesus' childhood, we could perhaps draw the conclusion that not very much happened during that time. But this interaction between Jesus and his mother in our gospel passage today does perhaps suggest that Jesus' childhood might not have been completely ordinary. Why did Mary expect Jesus to be able to do anything about empty wine jars? What was it that she knew about him? Well, John's gospel doesn't tell us, but what it does show is a gradual building of Jesus' ministry. The previous chapter describes the calling of the first disciples, and it shows Jesus as an attractive, teasing, if you like, compelling figure. People are clearly drawn to him, and when they are with him, they know that they are at the heart of something incredible. And then comes this rather happy, lovely wedding story. The wedding would probably have involved almost the whole village and several people from the neighbouring village, which is maybe why Mary, her son, and his friends were invited. And in the culture at that time, running out of wine wasn't just inconvenient, but it amounted to a social disaster. Even, you could say, a matter of disgrace. The family would have to live with the shame of it for a long time to come. Weddings in those days took not just an afternoon, but they would go on for 3, 4, 5 days. And this lack of wine, the running out of the wine, the bride and groom might even have regarded it as bringing bad luck on their future married life together. So Jesus is there with his friends, who are already, it seems, a recognised group, all invited to this wedding together. And then Mary, slightly the bossy but clearly affectionate mother, takes no notice of Jesus' attempts to avoid any kind of sign or miracle. "My hour has not yet come," he tells her. But Mary clearly feels that it is her place to decide when his hour has come, not his. And she almost, it feels like, she treats him a bit like a sulky boy who just needs humouring and cajoling into performing. And perform he does. Why does he do it? Only Mary, the servants and the disciples know what has really happened. Does it set up all kinds of false impressions in the minds of his new band of followers? Does Mary expect to continue to control his ministry? Do the disciples congratulate themselves on throwing in their lot with someone who is going to give them such a good time? Well, if they did, it all came crashing down really quickly, because shortly after this episode, we read about Jesus charging around the temple, upsetting the tables and throwing out the money changers. Any thought that this might be a bit of a joyride for the disciples would have been dispelled instantly. So what, 2,000 years later, do we make of all that? Well, this miracle of turning water into wine is noted as Jesus' very first miracle. But this is not just one miracle amongst many. It is, of course, in the light of the social consequences we just spoke about, an act of extreme compassion by Jesus. But much more than that, it is the premier miracle. It is the key to interpreting everything that followed. And this wedding, the wedding itself, is a foretaste of the great heavenly feast that is in store for God's people, as we heard earlier described in our reading from the book of Revelation. Whereas the water jars, originally designed and used for Jewish purification rites, are a sign that God is doing something completely new, something away from the old Jewish system, something which symbolizes the purification of Israel and the whole world in a completely new way. Coming to a community where a special celebration has literally run dry and is powerless to renew itself, Jesus is revealed here as the one who both fills up and transforms that which is empty. Here we find abundance and quality. There's a generous abundance, an abundance to the point of excess. And there's a quality beyond anything else that has been experienced. Just imagine the bewilderment of the steward in the story and the utter confusion of the groom on being congratulated for suddenly producing such exceptional wine in such massive quantity. We don't need to be in any way bewildered or confused. The miracles of Jesus often caused controversy, division, disbelief, but sometimes also a move to authentic faith. When some people asked Jesus to perform a miracle to prove his authority, he scolded them for even asking. He said that if they really wanted to believe, there was already more than enough evidence. A few pages in our gospel after the miracle at Cana, we read that Jesus responded brusquely to a royal official who begged Jesus to heal his sick son. Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, you will never believe." But then he healed them anyway. So Jesus wasn't some kind of ancient David Blaine, some street magician doing tricks to wow curiosity seekers. Nor were his miracles merely missions of mercy or demonstrations of God's compassion for human suffering, although they were at least that. Instead, to understand his miracles meant to exercise faith in him who had performed them. His signs, wonders, works, and healings forced a decision one way or another. After all, as Jesus said, "Believe the miracles, that you may learn and understand that the Father is in me, and I in the Father. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me." Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. So this is not primarily a story about a humble Galilean village wedding, but it's a story about the bringer of divine gifts. At Cana, the gift is wine. But then it propels us forward to the fateful hour in Jerusalem when the gift will be new life. And here we see just what kind of Messiah Jesus is. Here we have a picture of the new life he came to bring to people who are contaminated by sin. That's to say, you and me. A new life that is as intoxicating as new wine and as different from the old life as wine is different from water. So this transformation from water into wine is, of course, meant by John to signify the effect that Jesus can have, can still have today, on people's lives. Jesus came, as he says later, that we might have life in all its fullness. So at this wedding in Cana, the first of his many miraculous signs, Jesus revealed God to be an extravagantly generous God. And, if we will let it, that generosity can transform our lives and the lives of those we meet, so long as we trust our God. And God can be trusted. He can be trusted because no problem is bigger than God. No detail is too insignificant for God. No need is beyond God's reach. No opportunity is bigger than God. No sin is bigger than God's power to deal with it. And nothing can ever make God forget us. We need to remember all this. From that first miracle at the wedding in Cana to the ultimate miracle on that cross in Jerusalem, these truths are self-evident. Remember, and this is critical, that the transformation of water into wine only came when someone took Mary's words seriously. "Do whatever he tells you," she said. She knew what was on offer. It is on offer to each one of us as well. Amen.
Amen.
As we sit, we have our prayers of intercession.
Lord, in the selfish world we have created, help us to put aside our own interests for the benefit of others. Show us how to love our neighbours, to appreciate our neighbours, to help our neighbours. Lord, in your mercy. As self-interest increases, so the power, joy, and beauty of our communities withers on the vine. As John Donne, Dean of St. Paul's, said, "No man is an island." Lord, help us rediscover, value, and rebuild the self-help typical of communities in previous generations. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, the old proverb, "Two wrongs don't make a right," has never been more true. Help us to see that, Lord. The destruction of Gaza, the slaughter of innocent Palestinians, the suffering of hostages. Help us, Lord, to be brave enough to say loudly and clearly that these abhorrent crimes must stop, that these things are wrong, that these things are pure evil. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, we pray that those around the world who do not enjoy the freedom we cherish in our country, those who dare not speak self-evident truths, those who cannot profess their faith, those who fear for their life every day, Lord, give strength to those in need, to the oppressed. Lord, in your mercy, in troubled times, Lord, your humble gifts give us great joy. A sunlit walk in the frozen Chilterns, a bunch of daffodils, a Salvation Army band playing carols. Lord, let us never tire of life's small pleasures, your small gifts to us. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, as we worship here this morning, we create a quiet space to think about those family and friends we know to be suffering, suffering illness and troubled times. Let us take a moment to reflect on their needs and to ask you, Lord, to be there for them. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Would you please stand? So before God and each other, we affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed as we say together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. So may the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let's share with one another a sign of that peace. We'll sing our next hymn, which is hymn number 488, Rock of Ages. Eucharistic Prayer 1 on page 5. Eucharistic Prayer 1. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. Words as a prayer we could bring to this table as we approach communion. Words we can trust. Because the Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give you thanks and praise.
Please sit or kneel for our prayer. It is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy, at all times and in all places, to give you thanks and praise. Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. For he is your living Word. Through him you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Through him you have freed us from the slavery of sin, giving him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. Through him you have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us a people for your own possession. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself, made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom, and with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise.
Amen.
blessing and honour and glory and power be yours for ever and ever. Amen. We continue on page 17 by saying together the prayer which Jesus himself taught us, as we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of men, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts, by faith, with thanksgiving. Top of page 18, we say together the prayer after communion. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. If you'd like to stand, we'll sing our final hymn, which is hymn 425, O Lord My God. Go to our homes with this blessing. So may the Father, who so loved the world that he gave his only Son, bring you to faith to his eternal life. May Christ, who accepted the cup of sacrifice in obedience to the Father's will, keep you steadfast as you walk with him in the way of his cross. And may the Spirit who strengthens us to suffer with Christ, that we may share his glory, set your minds on life and peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen. Amen.
Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen. Amen.